You're not here. Well, I can't keep explaining what they'll never understand.
Amen. Let's get ourselves situated. Amen. Amen. Welcome to the house of the Lord, everybody. Amen. For those of you who are on YouTube and Facebook, welcome to Taylor Tabernacle. We are a Bible-based, Jesus-believing church located in West Philadelphia. Amen. 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 This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. 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 I'm going to open us up with prayer and scripture, and then we are going to be blessed. Amen. With a wonderful service. Amen. Amen. If we could all stand. And those of you who are at home, prepare your hearts and minds. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this house of worship. Thank you for making a place where your word is preached. Thank you for making a place and a way for us to get here and to hear your word. Lord, feed us this morning so that you would be glorified in our lives. Plant, hallelujah, your word in our hearts this morning, that we would bear the fruit of the Spirit, that those who are out there wandering and wondering would see us as living epistles, as witnesses unto you, Christ Jesus, that they would be drawn through those doors or through the doors of another Bible-believing church to have a relationship with you, Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the relationship that you have established with us and in us. Thank you for providing for us. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for blessing us with our families. Thank you for blessing us with our church family. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with every breath of our life, that no matter what has happened, hallelujah, we are still here because you are in control. Thank you, oh, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for every moment, for every provision. Thank you, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, be with us this day. Bless us with your presence. You've got more than two or three gathered in your name. So come sit next to us in the pews and in our homes. Let us feel your presence right next to us, Lord, and that we would receive your word. Prepare our ears right now to hear your word. Forgive us our sins and prepare in us a receptive heart, that it would be stitched and written on it, your word. Help us right now, O Lord, and be with us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. I'm going to read our scripture. I'm going to be coming from Psalms 26. And I'm going to be starting in verse 6. So Psalms 26, starting in verse 6. If you need a Bible, let the usher know. They will give you a Bible. I'm going to be in Psalms 26. Amen. Amen. I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. Amen. 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 It's good to get a good word every Sunday. Amen. It's good to get a good word every day. Amen. Amen. Now we get a treat. We get a treat. Our sister Leah is here, Sister Leah Reed, to sing to us. Amen. Amen. Isn't it wonderful that she comes down here? Amen. She's going to go to Mother's Church after this, but she comes down here to bless us that we can rejoice in the Lord together. Amen. Amen. So let's hear some S-A-A-A-N-G-I-N-G, singing.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. As we sing together, as we worship together, we are so grateful to the Lord for another day of what he's allowed us to see, allowed us to do. And as we continue even just thinking about this season, you know, it's this season and each season that we go through, it's for our everyday lives, but we are grateful. So, oh, come all ye faithful, because we want to adore him. We want to give him all the glory and all the honor for who he is and for the sacrifice that he made for our lives. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He's worthy of the glory. He's worthy of the glory, Christ the Lord. In him there is no failure. In him there is no failure. In him there is no failure, Christ the Lord. We give him all the honor. We give him all the honor. We give him all the honor, Christ. the Lord. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Him, Christ the Lord. Him, Christ the Lord.
Him, let's adore him. Shall we all stand? Come on, let's lift our hands and our voices unto God, right? The psalm said, come, let us adore him, Christ Jesus our Lord. He's worthy. Raise your hand if you know he's worthy of all the praises, right? Right? Another year, what? The Lord has kept us, right? Another year, the Lord has brought us, right? Another year, somehow he made a way. I made it this far. Didn't think I would make it. Didn't think I would get here. Oh, but God, through his own mercy. Oh, come, let us adore him. Come, let us lift our hands. Come, let's lift our voices unto God. Like a trumpet in Zion. Why, the Lord has been good. He's been merciful, kind, wonderful. Goodness and mercy has followed me all the days of my life. Hallelujah. I've made up my mind. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord. That's where I want to be this Christmas. So many people making plans. Where you going for Christmas? What you doing for Christmas? I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. 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 Bless his name forever. Oh, I bless you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for your keeping power, Lord. Thank you for preserving us, Lord. Hallelujah. Your hand of mercy, your arm of righteousness. My God has gotten him the victory. Let us pray since I'm already stirred up. Father in heaven, we thank you. Oh, we bless your name. Hallelujah. We give you all of the glory, all of the honor, all of the praise, God. Hallelujah. We give it to your name. Why? Because you're worthy. Hallelujah. God, you're worthy. God, you're worthy. Lord, you're worthy. And so we bless your name this morning. Hallelujah. We bless you for allowing us to come together in this place. We bless you because here we find your word. We bless you because here we sing the songs of Zion. We bless you because here we have fellowship of like precious faith. Hallelujah. We glorify you today, God. Hallelujah. We bless your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Because you've been so good, so kind, and so merciful unto us, Lord. Hallelujah, we just thank you. Hallelujah, we just praise you. Hallelujah, and we adore your name. And now that we have assembled ourselves in this place, Father, bless us that we might hear and understand your word. Hallelujah, that we might live lives that are worthy of the calling of Christ Jesus. Help us to walk upright. Help us to speak the truth in our heart at all times. Help us to love the brethren. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That our light might shine and that this world might see and know that we have been begotten by the blood of Jesus Christ himself. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. All of God's people say amen. Amen. And amen again. If you have your Bibles, go to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. Our primary text is going to be 14 through 21. And we're going to add to the witness out of the Old Testament, Proverbs, the fourth chapter, verses 5 through 7.
Again, our primary text, we're continuing, we're just preaching through the book of Mark, the 8th chapter. Our primary text is going to be 14 through 21. I'm actually going to start reading at verse 1 just to flow it down into some context for us. And then we'll add to the witness out of Proverbs chapter 4 and 5. Amen? Everybody got it? Okay. Matthew 8, I'm starting at verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. Then the disciples answered him, how can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. He took the 7 loaves and gave thanks, broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And they set them before the multitude. And they also had a few small fish. Having blessed them, he set them also before them. And so they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000. And he sent them away and immediately got into the boat with his disciples and came to the region of Dalmatha. Then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven. And their intent was to test him. But he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. And then he left them, and getting into the boat again, he departed to the other side. Okay, now to our primary text. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. They did not have more than 1 loaf with them in the boat. And then he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. They reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. But Jesus said, beware of it. But Jesus, being aware of it, meaning their conversation, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes you do not see, ears you do not hear, and do you not remember? When I broke the bread, the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 12. And when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? They said, 7. And he said to them, how is it you do not understand? Okay? Now let's add to the witness out of Proverbs chapter 4. Familiar passage. It says, get wisdom and get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. And do not forsake her, referring to wisdom. She will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you, right? Verse 7, we know this. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. Okay? Verse 21 out of our primary text concluded by saying, he said to them, how is it you do not understand? Okay, So what I want to talk to you about this morning, just briefly, is the enemy within me. Okay? The enemy within me. Okay? The enemy within all of us is misunderstanding. It's inside every last one of us, hidden secretly. Misunderstand. We're all aware of the enemy without, right? We all know that our enemy, what goes about like a roaring lion. So we see, we can see, we can hear, we can see the external and feel and hear the external enemy. But the enemy that's gonna trip us up the most is the enemy within, right? Right? That's why when we pray, we say, "What, Lord, give us eyes to what? See. Give us ears that we might hear. Give us a heart that can be what? Full of understanding." You with me? If you got it, say, "I got it." You may be seated all over the church. Before I jump into it tonight, I do want to thank Deacon Todd and Deaconess Keisha for filling in for me this month, various Wednesday nights. Work schedule didn't allow me to be available every Wednesday night like I would have liked for our prayer and Bible study, but my thanks to them for filling in fine fashion. One of the things that I want to do, and the reason that I went back to verse 1 and read all the way down, you know, and even though we had already gone through that and preached through that, I wanted to read it because one of the most important things to remember in our study of the Bible is to remember the big picture, right? You've been with me a while. You've heard me talk about that from time to time. From Genesis to Revelations is one story concerning God. It's not many stories. We're like, oh, it's 66 books of the Bible. And all those stories build up or connect into one larger story, right? And the summary on that is what? John 3:16, what? God so loved the world. All of this that we're reading, Genesis, it's all about what? The love of God, right? God, so he gave his own, and his love is demonstrated in that what? He gave his son, offered his son up, son gave his life. So all of this is a part of that one story. And every now and again in our study of the Bible, we got to step back and make sure we're seeing the big picture. Okay? You got to see it all fit together, connect together. That's why over the years I developed in my preaching, you know, you always hear me add to the witness. It's all connected. The more and more you study your Bible, the more and more you understand what? It's all connected. It's all connected because it's all what? One story. Right? One of the things, so Jermaine has a habit when we go to the movies, watch movies, Jermaine talks through the entire movie. I mean, she just, that's just what she does. And she's asking me, I'm like, Jermaine, I haven't seen the movie. I don't know. I mean, unless you got the cell phone number to the guy who wrote it, I don't know. I don't know why she just killed him. I'm trying to find out. Always. So I'm like, oh, man. So I always got, I was like, Jermaine, don't talk this time. Let's just watch it and see what happens. Let's figure it out as we go along. And then what makes it worse is now everyone's streaming the series, you know, 4 episodes, 5 episodes. So I'll be watching something and sometimes she'll come in. I'm on episode 3 and she'll start hitting me with all these questions. And I say, Jermaine, you have to go back to the beginning of this and watch. Then some of those questions can be answered. You're coming in the middle and trying to ask all these questions, I don't want to tell her because I'm going to miss what's happening now. You know, I'm trying to watch, you know, where I'm at in the story, and it's all over the place, right? And so, but the point is, she's asking all these questions because she's trying to understand what's going on in the movie, right? So you can follow it, see what's happening, what's coming next, and get some insight into how things may end. And so I wanted to go back. I wanted to see the big picture because I want to make sure we're having an understanding of what's taking place. Because sometimes you can get so deep down into that particular story that you miss the bigger story. And I think today's text, 14 through 21, is a wonderful example of Jesus Christ trying to help his boys see the big picture, right? Because he gets into it, you know, here we are, we're going to get into it, and they immediately think he's talking about natural bread. And he's somewhat upset with them because I'm talking about a bigger, there's something more important going on here than just the miracle of feeding thousands of people. You're missing it. You're right up close to it. You're next to it, but you're missing the whole thing. It's going right by you. You follow what I'm saying? And that's the great danger we all have. Okay? So at the beginning, the one prayer and Bible study I did make, I offered you guys four Christmas gifts to help your study of God's Word. One was to begin your study of God's Word with prayer. I said open and close. Two, I encourage you to read your Bible slower. It's a great tool in Bible study. Thirdly, I encourage you guys to read your Bible out loud. Because hearing it in your own ear helps you. Talked about how sometimes you can see words and put an assumed meaning on it, right? You know, because people always say that. Well, yeah, people always say that, but that's not what the word says. But because you hear that phrase, you just assume, but read it out loud and you'll catch yourself. Like, oh, wait, so read it out loud. And then fourth, I encourage you to read from different translations because that is also helpful. And so I offered these to you as a way to increase your own spiritual wisdom and your understanding. Because, as we heard from the Proverbs, he says what? In all you're getting, get what? Get an understanding. Okay? Now you see, hopefully you get a sense of where we're going with this text. If you have that, I want you to jot this down. It may be on the slide. It may not be. The enemy of understanding is misunderstanding. Okay? The enemy of understanding is misunderstanding. It's better simply just not to know, right? Because with a misunderstanding, you assume you know, but you don't. Right? Someone who just doesn't know just says, I don't know that. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know the answer to that. But someone who has a misunderstanding falsely assumes they have what? The correct answer, when in reality they what? They don't. So what? Now they are going to make steps, take actions based on a misunderstanding that is going to what? Lead them down a what? An incorrect path. Versus if they just didn't know, they could raise their hand and say, whoa, before we go anywhere, someone's got to tell. Why? Because I don't know. Right? Their ignorance would at least kept them still, kept them at least with some desire to get more information. But with a misunderstanding, you assume you know, not realizing you know incorrectly. Are you with me? Misunderstanding is a failure to understand something correctly. Okay? So here it is. Let's just lift these couple points up out of the text. We read all the story. We started with the feeding, 4,000. The Pharisees come. They want a sign. Says, no sign for you. How many of you watched the Seinfeld series? That means you're my age or close to it. Anybody other than that, you'll know what I'm talking about. Seinfeld, what is that? One of the famous episodes, here you go, in the Seinfeld series is the whole soup Nazi, right? And the soup Nazi says what? No soup for you, right? So Jesus says to the Pharisees who come seeking a sign, he says what? No sign. Ty's the only one listening. I set that up. Y'all couldn't help but get that right. No soup for you, no sign. Jesus told the Pharisees, he said no sign for you. Not only no sign for you, he said no sign for this entire generation. No sign for you. Here it is. Disciples had forgotten to take bread. He does this great miracle. He feeds 4,000 people, very reminiscent of the 5,000 he had fed earlier. He feeds 4,000, and I told you when we preached that Sunday, they took up 7 baskets, but the baskets were as tall as a man's height. They weren't small baskets. These were baskets. I told you in Acts chapter 16, Paul escapes out of one of the cities where they were trying to stone him, and they let him out of the wall in a basket. The basket was tall enough to cover him, so he was able to go down, and no one knew who or what was in the basket. So that gives us an idea of how large or how tall the basket was. They have 7 baskets left over, right? After the miracle, they leave and they don't take any of that bread. They leave it there. The people take it. Somebody take it. But the disciples didn't take it. And so they start out and said they had forgotten to take bread. Not that they had forgotten, maybe one hand. But the other point is that Jesus didn't tell them to bring bread. Right? A lot of other times, Jesus didn't tell them. Jesus said, well, give me the loaves. Tell the people to sit down. Here, break it and give it to them in 50s and 100s. Jesus gave them instructions. He never gave them instructions what to do with the leftover bread. Okay? That's important, right? So now, they're in the boat, crisscrossing the Sea of Galilee. He says to them now, take heed. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Okay? That's what he says. They're in the boat talking. We got another hour before we get to the other side. And Jesus turns around with a serious look on his face. He says, God, I need you to be, listen to this. I need you to be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of the Herodians. Okay? And so, hearing this, they assume, they start talking among themselves and saying, oh, he's on us because we forgot the bread. We had 7 baskets full, tall man's size, full of miraculous bread, and we forgot it. Right? You see the image? You see where he's going with it? They're stuck down here. But he really wants them to see a bigger picture, right? So here it is. The most people they have a tendency to often word associate words and images, right? And so in this instance, Jesus said leaven, or what you and I might today call yeast, and so they immediately associated it with bread. Right? If I say peanut butter, we're all going to say what? Jelly. Say ham, you're going to say cheese. They just go together. You think that way. Okay. We want to read out loud because sometimes we can make a wrong assumption on a word or a phrase or what the meaning is. So they make this assumption because he said leaven or yeast, he must be talking about bread. And so they immediately went to what had just recently happened is that what? He had performed miracle with bread. So they said, oh, wow, he's on us about bread, the leftover bread, because he said leaven, right? Here it is. Leaven, most oftentimes in the New Testament, is an illustration of influence. Most often, it symbolizes the evil influence of sin. Okay? Most often, it symbolizes the evil influence of sin. The one exception is in Matthew 13:13, where it is a positive influence. Okay? Hold on to that. You're going to need it when we get to the end. The leaven of the Pharisees included both their false teaching and their hypocritical behavior. Okay? That's their leaven. The leaven of the Herodians, or of Herod Antipas, was his immoral and corrupt conduct. Okay? And both groups hated Jesus. Okay? Both groups hated Jesus. Now, they had their own issues, but the one thing they agreed on is that we got to get rid of Jesus. Okay? And just like Jesus gets in the boat, warns his disciples, hey guys, you must be aware of the leaven or the evil influence of the Pharisees and the Herodians. Okay? Just like Jesus warned his disciples, so I now, as your pastor, warn you of the evil influences that are all around us. Today, more than ever before. Right? Can I get a witness? Anybody, if I'm telling the truth, somebody say amen. There are evil influences all around us. Right? Right? And so we need this message today more than we've ever needed it before. Because this message hopefully will wake us up to become aware of the leaven, not of the Pharisees, not of the Herodians, but the leaven of Satan himself is all around us. Everywhere you look, everything you hear, right? Everything is laced with something to influence us to do evil, right? And so now more than ever, we must be on guard against the leaven of this world, right? Am I preaching? If I'm preaching, somebody say amen. There it is, right? And so one of the things, if I was going to take this message and spin it a different way, I would preach this sermon subject, guard your gates. That's what he's telling them. He said, guys, you got to guard your gates. Because Jesus had just preached a revival for 3 days, right? Now, what the text said? Then he said, they've been with me 3 days. He said, I can't send them away because they're faint. So I got to feed them. How many loaves have you? Right? So for 3 days, they were what? Bombarded with godly influence. Because when Jesus taught, he taught them what? The kingdom of God. 3 days. That's all they're hearing. The kingdom of God is like. For free. He's just giving it to them. Right? Out of the mouth of God, right? At the end of the 3 days, relax, he feeds them, and they immediately cross the other side. And now here comes what? The leaven of the Pharisees. You got to see it. I'm trying to paint the picture. They're getting positive, godly, holy influence, and then they are immediately attacked with what? The negative, evil influence of the Pharisees and the Herodians, right? Somebody tell me, what year am I talking about? You don't know whether I'm preaching 06 B.C., the before Christ, before his death, or you don't know whether I'm talking about 2022. Right? Because we come to church on Sundays and we're what? We hear what? Godly, positive influence, right? From the Word of God. Only to leave this place, right? Monday through Saturday and now be bombarded with what? Negative, evil influence of the world. By people who hate our God. You following this? If you got it, say, I got it. This is the world we live in. This is not a Bible story for Bible times. This is a current story for relevant living today. That's why I'm saying to you, you gotta guard your gates. What are your gates? Your eye gate, your ear gate, your mouth gate. Your mouth gate is not what goes in. We learned before is what comes out. What comes out is a result of what goes in, what through what? Our eye gate, through our ear gate. That stuff gets down in our heart. And the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the what? The mouth speaketh. Help me preach. Touch somebody and tell them, guard your gate. Somebody help your pastor. Look at your pastor and say, Pastor, don't watch so much TV. Why? You got to guard your gate. You got to guard your gate. Right? Here it is, Luke 11:34. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body also is full of darkness. Somebody help me preach this Sunday. If you don't guard your gate, the enemy will bombard you with leaven of the world, right? Evil influences, temptations to sin, temptations to rebel against God. And if you're not guarding your gate, that influence will get in your heart. Watch this. And cause you to misunderstand God's word. Now, I got you. I know I got you. Many of you say, oh, now he gets in, and now it causes us to go in the opposite or the wrong direction. He's not even so much concerned about that. He's more concerned about creating a misunderstanding. I'm going to show you why in a minute. Here it is, 16:17. So they reason among themselves, it's because we don't have bread. But Jesus said, well, before we hear what Jesus said, let me hear what you say. Help me preach. Tell somebody and say it's not about the bread. Right? Right? I'm helping somebody. It's not about what you think. Right? I hate to say it. You're thinking about the wrong thing because you have a misunderstanding of the word of God. Right? Okay, keep working. We're here. But Jesus said, being aware of what they were talking about, tell somebody, say, God's listening. Here it is. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Get this. Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Right? He's asking them, don't you guys get it yet? Don't you guys understand yet? Now listen to the next question. That's the whole sermon hangs on this next question. Here it is. Or is your heart still hardened? Jesus said, do you guys, don't you understand yet? Both silent. So he asked the following question, which is causing them to understand or hopefully understand the reason why their understanding is so important. Because he says now, the second question is what? Is your heart still hardened? Here's the sermon. You ready? I'm giving it to you. Misunderstanding leads to a hardened heart. I would say, if you got it, say, I got it. But I can tell by the looks on your faces, you ain't got it. It's okay. It's okay. That's why we're here. right? Some people would say, well, Pastor, it's not a big deal if I don't come on Wednesday nights. For bread and Bible study. Not the end of the world, Pastor, right? Pastor, 4 Sundays in a month. I give 2 to God, 2 me and my girlfriend. Look, that's even. That's fair, right? I'm ahead of the gang, and for most folks, you are. right? But the reality is, if we don't guard our gates and allow the evil influence, and not only is it evil, if I have Eve here, Eve would help me preach this. It's not only evil, it's subtle. I wish I had a real church. A real church would say amen to that. Right? The Bible says that Eve was legitimately deceived. She didn't know. Right? And that's what your enemy wants to do to you. Because if he can deceive you or confuse you regarding the word you get, right, when you go to Bible study, when you're gathering the fellowship on Sunday, if he can somehow confuse or dilute or pollute the word you get and now create in you a misunderstanding, in time, it will lead to a hardened heart. All right? Mark 5:6-52. For they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. This phrase, a hardened heart, refers to an inability to understand because of a rebellious attitude. Get what he's saying when he's saying their heart was hardened. To have a hardened heart is to be in rebellion against God. This is why a misunderstanding about God is so critical. Because left unchecked, left without gaining understanding, it leads you into rebellion against God. And what did I say about a misunderstanding? The damage about a misunderstanding is what? You think you know. There are many people living in rebellion against God and are in church every Sunday. I didn't say they're mad at God. I said they're in rebellion. Again, I mean they're trying to seek revenge on God. Their actions toward God is spurred out of a heart of hatred for God. Now, somebody, if it's too heavy, tell me to stop. I'll stop. If it's too heavy, I'll stop. I know it's Christmas time. We need to think something better. I'll call Sister Leah back up and sing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Get this. Do you understand the gravity by which Christ spoke to his disciples? Guys, it's not about the bread. Twice now, I have performed a miracle with bread that had ample leftover. Guys, stop. What if it is about bread? Just think it through. Assume for a minute, I am talking about bread. 5,000, just men. 12 baskets left over. Right? 4,000 people. 7 baskets left over, right? do you think I could feed 12 guys? I mean, just think about it. I just fed 5,000 men only. Historians say if you added women and children, close to 20,000 people. This incident, 4,000. Seven large baskets. If I am talking about the bread, why would I talk about the bread? If I can feed 4,000, then surely I can feed 12. Right? Look at somebody say, it's not about the bread. He was trying to get them to see a bigger picture. And that is for them to realize who he really was. That's what it was about. Not about the bread, right? He said, you guys must understand correctly who I am. Because if not, you will become like the Pharisees, you will become like the Herodians, and you will turn into rebellion against God. The very one who gave you the bread. You guys with me this Sunday? Here it is, 18:20. Let's get out of it. Here it is. This is a hardened heart. Here it is. Eyes, but don't see. A hardened heart has ears. They don't hear. Right? This is in your Bible. I'm not making it up. And you do not remember. Right? Every first Sunday, we do it for one reason. So that what? We remember. Matter of fact, when he gave it to us, he told us what? He said, do this bread and wine, for one reason only. Remember me. And that's why we got, and why do we got to do it over and over and over? See, after a while we forget. Why? Because every day we are bombarded by what? Evil influence of sin is all around us. On our phone, our tablet, the TV. Radio state is all around us, right? One of the ways you guard your gate is by remembering. One of the ways you guard your gate is you limit what you allow to come before it, right? Am I helping anybody? Here it is. Here it is, 19. Let's get out of it. Then he said, I broke the 5 loaves. We talked about it. 12, I broke the 7. For the 4,000, there were 7 baskets left over. And here it is. And so we said to them, how is it that you don't understand? He didn't say, how is it that they, the multitude, don't understand? But why don't? Deacon in the church. You're a minister of the gospel. You are those closest to me. Those closest to Jesus. Family. Read the early part of his ministry. They didn't understand who he was. They thought he was suffering from mental illness. This is in your Bible. I'm not making this stuff up. They went to go get him to bring him home. They thought he was crazy. And they were what? Closest. Right? Those closest to Jesus, his disciples. His disciples didn't go to church with him for 3 years. They lived with him for 3 years. Yet they suffered from the enemy within. They what? They misunderstood them. And you're going to see as we preach out the rest of chapter 8, that's all Mark is trying to get us to understand. Watch out for that. They misunderstood them. Even when Peter got part of it right, guess what? The very next day he got what? Got the other part wrong. He had a better understanding, but he still misunderstood him. Right? Right? All of this is going to play out. As I preach the rest of these messages, I'm going to try to remember. Hopefully you remember. If I forget, look for the big picture. It's about misunderstanding. Don't get caught up in that he got the guy to see. That's not the point. He had already had caused blind people to see. What he wants you to see is that he had to touch him a second time. Why? Because the understanding is what? A process. That's why you got to keep coming back to the well. Keep coming back to the well. One sermon is not enough. You got to keep coming back, because when you leave here, you're going to be what? Bombarded with the leaven of this world. So you need what? Need another touch. You need something to counterbalance the leaven that this world is offering to you. And like I said, they don't want you to stop going to church. They just want you to misunderstand what's being said in church. Because as long as you misunderstand what God is saying, you can get God to say whatever you want. All based on a misunderstanding. Even it's a misunderstanding about the word of God. He didn't really mean it that way. Right? That's the leaven. There it is. It comes in like yeast. It's small. It's nothing. But if left unchecked, guess what? Cause that whole thing to swell up. Right? That's the leaven. You got to be like, no. God says what he means, and he means exactly what he says. All right? Now, you got to judge yourself accordingly. It's not that he didn't mean what he said. He didn't mean what he said. That's why he said it. Right? But what the leaven does is cause you and I to have a misunderstanding. And that misunderstanding, like the yeast, if left unchecked, leads to a hardened heart. Chapter 8, verse 2, Jesus said, I have compassion on the multitude. Jesus said, in my heart, I feel compassion on the multitude. But the disciples said nothing. Why? Their heart was hardened. So I don't know what they're going to do, but we at least got 7 loaves. 12 of us, we're not all going to get a whole loaf. We might have to go half or three quarter. But at least we have something to eat. They misunderstood that if you give what you have to God, you get so much more in return. Those closest to Jesus, family, disciples, religious leaders, church people like us, are in the most danger because they assume that their proximity to Jesus is a sign of their faith in Jesus. Their proximity to Jesus must grow into understanding, and understanding must grow into faith or become like Judas. In the end, it will inoculate them to the true meaning of his person and work. Nobody knew Jesus better than Judas. There from the beginning. Not only known of Jesus, but trusted by Jesus. They gave Jesus money. He said, give it to Judas. He's our treasurer. He was close to Jesus. Being that close, he should have had the heart of Jesus. But yet, he misunderstood him. And as a result, he was in rebellion against Christ himself. And sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Because Jesus meant nothing to him. Do you hear what I'm saying? Don't allow ourselves to be lulled to sleep. Don't allow, maybe you got on math, don't allow the enemy to slip gas in here every Sunday. Cause us to become drowsy, sleep, and unaware of the leaven, and sit in the church and go to hell. Don't do it. If you're going to go, take the fast track. Enjoy life all the way to the end. I bet you understand that, don't you? Why go through this? Why do this? If that's where your end is going to be anyway. Jesus said, the same chapter, Jesus says, if any man were to follow me, he's got to take up his cross. You don't want to carry and die on the cross for Christ. Don't waste your time. Don't do it. It's either all or nothing for Christ. He needed his boys to know, you got to be all in. Because when I leave, I'm placing the whole weight on your shoulder. And if you are not in like me, it won't matter. Before he got off the boat, he said, how is it that you, those of you that go to church every Sunday, you're on Google Meets every Wednesday night for prayer, Bibles, how is it that me, don't understand, right? Here it is. We're finished. The disciples mirror humanity at large, which is so stuck in its own world and cares that it is blind and deaf to the word and will of God. The disciples were anxious about the lack of bread, while Jesus was anxious about their lack of faith and understanding. Be careful of the enemy within all of us. That enemy is misunderstanding. Let your prayer this Christmas be like the prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 119, who prayed this simple prayer repeatedly. Here's his prayer. Lord, give me understanding. Verse 34, verse 73, verse 125, verse 144, verse 100. He just keeps saying it. Lord, give me understanding. He said, if I get that, I get all of you. Let that be your prayer this Christmas. I'm going to say this. I'm going to close. Write this down. I didn't get it on my slide. Seeing Christ clearly allows you to follow him correctly. Seeing Christ clearly allows you to follow him correctly. Many, many people followed Jesus, but the vast majority followed him for the fish and loaves. Followed him for the miracles. Not because they believed in him, in his mission. They believed he could heal them. That's why they followed him. But they didn't believe he was the Messiah. Didn't believe his death on the cross was the sacrificial death for the redemption of sin. They never saw him clearly. So they only followed him for what they could get. Right? I hope you've gotten something out of the Word of God. Before I step down, I do want to just add my voice to a question that was brought up on Wednesday night. Again, apologize for not being available. But this was the question. I do want to add a pastoral perspective. Again, thank God to those who were there on Wednesday night in my place. I thought I had it pulled up. Hold on a second here. Here's the question. It says, what if you are on solid ground in walking with Jesus, but your children are not, and other family in their lives, look at this, are trying to influence them? I told you, it's all around us. It's not only in our phones, our laptops, it's in the people around us. And I want to say this too about that, because they say other people. There are people trying to influence you away from Christ unintentionally. If you ask them, why are you doing that? Why are you saying that? They won't say, because I'm trying to influence you away from God. They will never say that. And not because they're trying to be coy or deceptive, because that's not why they are doing it. But what they don't understand is that they are under the sway or the influence of a greater power. And that power is what? Satan. They don't see it that way, right? They just say that because they're looking out for you, right? And in their heart, that's what they believe. They're looking out for you. But they don't understand that they themselves are under the influence of the leaven of Satan. They don't see it that way. They're just trying to look out. They're just trying to be a good brother, a good sister, right? So I say that because I want you to understand it. So I don't want you to get mad at them. Jesus prayed this prayer on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. Right? That's his prayer. He prayed that prayer. Am I right about it? He said, Lord God, I want you to forgive them because they do not know what they are doing. They have no idea of who I am. So they're doing it ignorantly, but yet they're in rebellion against God. Fact remains. Right? So what do you do? What do you do when you're trying to live your life under the influence of godliness, but yet you are faced with the influence of sin and negativity all around you? It's in the devices in our hands, it's in our homes, our jobs, our neighborhoods, our community, our family, our friends of circles. Even though they are unaware, they are a negative influence, not only on me, but on my kids too. What do you do? How do you manage under that? This is what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, so let your light shine. Go to Matthew 13:33 real quick. I give you this, we get out of it. I told you there's one exception in the Word of God where leaven does not take on a negative connotation. Here it is, 13:33. And he spoke another parable to them, and he said, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. Right? Which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until it was all leaven. Right? This is a positive example of the use of leaven. And God says that's exactly how the kingdom of God works. In order to keep you from Christ, Satan must bombard you with an inordinate amount of leaven. He must do that. Why? Because all the time God is drawing you to himself. Every day, every hour, the hand of God is drawing you to himself. You don't know it, you don't feel it, you don't recognize it, but little by little, Christ is drawing you. He's drawing you till your day of salvation. He's drawing you until you get baptized. He's drawing you until you get filled with the Holy Spirit. He's drawing you until you submit to his lordship. He's drawing you until you become a servant willing to die. Like, he's just constantly drawing you. So the enemy, he's got to bombard you with leaven. Not just a little, because a little bit of his leaven won't stop the pull of God. But here's the secret. This is 33. Even with all his leaven, negative influence, evil, sin, he cannot stop the pull of God on your life. That's what he's saying. That's what the kingdom of God is like. He said the kingdom of God is like leaven. A woman took a little leaven. And they said in time it had permeated and infected all the dough in her house. Pastor, what do I do when I'm in this situation? And this isn't a question for us. This is a question for all of us. Because like I said, we're all in this situation. What do I do? Keep letting your light shine. Because when you let your light shine, you're allowing the kingdom of heaven to shine. When you allow the kingdom of heaven to shine, you allow a little bit of godly leaven to get tossed on the pile. What you're fearing or what you're afraid of is that, what was the song we sing when we were a kid? What? This what? Little light of mine What you're afraid of is how can my little light compare or combat or reverse this greater light of leaven? It's on their phone, it's on the iPad, it's in their school, it's on everywhere. It's just the leaven of the world is everywhere. And all you have is a little light. He said, let your light shine. Your little light is all God needs to start drawing them into the kingdom of heaven. The only thing that cannot happen is along the way, you begin to misunderstand who he is. Because then instead of loving God and living for God, you'll get mad at God and start hating him. And then start living in rebellion against him. And then soon you won't send your kids to church anymore. Shortly after that, you won't go. Little. It wasn't an abrupt thing, just little. Little. Instead of being drawn. The Bible said, draw near unto God. Wasn't him draw near unto you? I just wanted to add my voice on that as your pastor, because that's an important question. And it is directly related to the word preached to you this morning. So again, I say, I hope something said through the discourse, the word of God today, through what you heard on Wednesday night in prayer and Bible study. Watch out for the enemy within. That enemy's misunderstanding. Because it can lead to a hardened heart. Shall we all stand? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name. We thank you for the opportunity we have had today to gather around the Word of God. Thank you for the reminder out of the Book of Wisdom. Out of all that we get this Christmas, get an understanding. That we might not live our lives in rebellion against God, but that we might live our life in glorification of God, to his praise, to his honor, and to his glory, that men might see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. So, Father, give us eyes to see. Father, give us ears to hear. And above all, give us a heart to obey. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Now, to those of you who are watching on YouTube and Facebook and you want to reach out to us, you want to know more, you can always call the church at 215-748-4578 or on the website. Ask for us to contact you and we can go through with you even more with this word. Amen. 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 Now, we've had a good word and now we get to have some more happy time because it's offering time. Offering time. Offering time. Amen. 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 And with that, I'm going to call up Sister Kennedy because she's going to handle our offering.
Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of four ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, using the U.S. Postal Mail, and now using Venmo. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to TaylorTabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. Venmo at Taylor Tabernacle 6309. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door. One for the tithes and one for the offering. And for the preacher. Please send your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit the sanctuary. And as always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry.
Amen.
Good morning, church. Here are our announcements. The pastor and the leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from home. Remember to hit subscribe there on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you may be informed and up to date with all upcoming gatherings and dates. If you're not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address. We will add you to the list. Thank you. When you decide to join us for in-person worship, please take your temperature before leaving home and bring a mask to wear. If you or someone in your family has had contact with anyone who has COVID-19 virus, we encourage you to please stay at home. December 21st, special prayer and Bible study. The pastor is asking all to join and give a one-minute praise report. Focus is on those who have been added to our prayer list throughout the year. Sunday, December 25th, Christmas, please join the pastor and the first lady for our special Christmas morning worship service. That's in person and virtual. January 1st, join the pastor and the first lady for our annual New Year's Day communion service at 10 a.m. There will be a potluck-style meal afterwards. The First Lady is asking every family to contribute something to the meal. Please contact our Sister Barbara or our Sister Anita for items on the list. January 8th, please join YLE as they kick off their new virtual Sunday at 8:30 via Google Meet. There will be three classes, primary class, junior class, and our team. Please contact our Sister Christina for your child's classroom assignment and login information. Also, in January 13th through 15th, please join our pastor as he goes with the nonprofit Alliance of Trust on a weekend trip to Auburn, Alabama, to watch the Auburn University men's basketball take on Mississippi State University in an SEC matchup. The trip will also include stops to historical Black history locations in Selma, Tuskegee, and Atlanta, Georgia. There is a deposit of $180 that is refundable only up until January 2nd. Their payment in full is due on January 18th, and I believe it is a double occupancy is $650. Single occupancy is $850. There is a flyer, and there's an itinerary if anyone is interested. With that, our pastor will give our benediction.
Shall we all stand? I just want to add a couple footnotes to the announcements while everyone is standing up. So this Wednesday, the special prayer and Bible study, this question was asked of me, and so I want to address it publicly, and so we all have the same understanding. The focus is, if you personally, or if you indirectly have put someone on the prayer request list at some point throughout this year, pray for my mom, pray for my dad, whatever, for this, that, or the other. You put them on the list, you put yourself on the list, whatever. What I'm looking for is a praise report concerning that prayer request. Okay? We put your mom on the list back in March. How is she doing now? Is she better? Is she worse? Right? Has God healed her? What, you know, that's what I'm look, that was the intent or purpose. Okay? So that's what I'm looking for. Now you say, well, Pastor, I haven't put anybody on the prayer list. That's fine. Then I still want you to give a praise report concerning something God has done in your life this year. Okay? So does that work? So either you got something on the list, we want a praise report on it, or you're just going to give a praise report about something that's not on the list. Okay? So that's all of us get in. And we really got to, I'm going to try my best to keep it to a minute with everybody, right? That way we can still get out in our same time frame, okay? So this is not testimonial service, okay, 30 years ago. This is not you preaching a sermon about how he healed. That's just you just saying, you know what, the Lord healed me. Thank you guys for praying, but above all, thank God for healing me. I'm better now, okay? So that's that. Now, here was the question. The question was, Pastor, what if I want to give a praise report. Because I'm better, right? But I'm still not whole. Okay? The example was, hey, I'm better, but I actually have to go see my doctor again about that same thing next year, next month. Okay? Still give the praise report and ask to remain on the prayer list. Some folks were assuming if I give the praise report, that means my name must come off the prayer. No, it doesn't. Just let us know where we are now, right? Just like the guy we're going to preach about in a couple Sundays, the blind guy, he needed a what? A second touch. Was he healed? Yes. Because before God touched him, he was what? Blind. He couldn't see anything. When he touched him, he could see, right? He just couldn't see clearly. But he was what? Healed. He owed God a praise report. But he still need to stay what? On the prayer list. He said, Lord, I need another touch. I'm not completely whole. Okay? So that's that. I wanted to answer that. It was asked privately. I wanted to answer it publicly so that so everyone's on the same page. So let's be on Wednesday night, and I'll be on there for sure. Hey, lastly, I want to say something about this trip. The Alliance of Trust is just a partnership between Jews and Christians fighting racism and anti-Semitism. You guys know my friend David Edmond, Rabbi Strauss. We're going down here. Now, you know, the highlight is the basketball game, but I wanted to point out some of where we're going to be going on this trip, because some of you guys may want to give this to yourself or someone else as a Christmas gift. So on Friday when we get in, our first stop is going to be at the National Memorial for Peace and Justice. Explore where Rosa Parks boarded the bus for her famous ride. The National Memorial is a remembrance of a period of racial terror in America where over 4,400 African Americans lost their lives by lynching. Okay, we're going to go to this memorial. All right. Then in the afternoon, we're going to stop at the Equal Justice Initiative Legacy Museum. This museum is the site of a former warehouse, which tells the stories of all racial inequality, specifically the slave trade, the Jim Crow South, and the world's largest prison system. We're going to visit this place, okay? Then we're going to get on the bus. We're going to go to Selma, Alabama, and there, of course, we're going to go to the Edmund Pettus Bridge, right? You all know about that. And we're going to take the walk across that bridge, okay? So we're not just going to read about history. We're actually going to go and experience history. By the night, we'll end in Auburn. The next morning, I'm actually going to be teaching Bible study that morning, that Saturday morning. We're going to start our day with a Bible study. I'll be teaching. Then we're going to, at noon, we're going to have lunch with Coach Bruce Pearl, the head basketball coach for the University of Auburn. Private lunch with him and our team, our group that'll be traveling down. Wonderful opportunity. I had a chance to meet him earlier this year. That's going to be a highlight. Then after that, we're going to go out to the Tuskegee Airmen National Historical Site. We're going to take that in and then hustle back on campus for the Auburn, Mississippi State game, later that evening. And then we're also going to have an opportunity to go into the locker room and meet some of the guys on the team. Then that Sunday morning, we're going to get up, jet back to Atlanta, 11 a.m. We're going to try our best to get there, and we're going to have worship service at Ebenezer Baptist Church, right? Where, in fact, Martin Luther King was preacher and pastor. Amen? So it's the real deal trip. That's all I'm trying to do. We didn't, Cass didn't have all that insight. I wanted to share that because you might want to consider, now knowing a little bit more, you might want to go, or you might want to give a gift to someone else and send them, because it's going to be a tremendous, tremendous trip during Martin Luther King weekend. Amen? Father in heaven, we thank you for what you have done. Go with us, stand by us, stand a bit strong in the heart of the believers everywhere, and give us the courage to let our light shine. Christ's name, amen. God bless you, Taylor.